person who calls in
Hello?
Late all the time. Oh, okay.
Hi. Hello. Did everyone just pop on all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Who do we have on?
We have Kim.
Kim?
Stacy.
And Stacy. Oh, welcome. This is week 6. And I can't believe how fast it's going of self-care before sit-ups. And the recording has started, so welcome. And let's go ahead and share any successes that you have had. And let's start off with Kim.
Well, I have had the success of decluttering my office.
All
right. And I love it. It's so beautiful. And I walk in and I'm like, this is awesome. So that's a good thing. I know it's silly, but it's good.
No, it is.
And then and it's like, wow, my husband's like, what did you do in here? And I'm like, I'm decluttering. He's like, good for you. What about the rest of the house? And I'm like, I'll get there. I mean, the house really isn't that bad. There's a couple key spots, and we got to get to those yet, but one day at a time.
Yes.
And I just found that I'm just doing like an hour here and an hour there, so it hasn't been a consistent, you know, every Tuesday, but I'm getting it in there. And the thing that I found is I was really consistent at going to the gym until about a month ago. And then I don't know what happened. But now I'm slowly getting back in there. And the days that I don't get there, I'm taking the dog for a walk or she's taking me for a walk, however you want to go. And I'm like, I'm doing something. And I'm not fretting all day, I didn't get to the why, I didn't do that. So I'm proud about that, too.
I can hear it in your voice, Kim. The just the joy, the excitement, and the joy of not getting down on yourself, and how refreshing that feels.
Yeah, and it just is totally taking a whole new look.
Okay.
And you know, and the other thing is, I've worked on some of the tolerations, and I just realized the only thing that's going to get done with that toleration of cleaning up the dog do is I have to do it, and I had to schedule that into my day. And now I do it on the day before trash, and I'm happier looking out the lawn. So it's silly stuff, but yet at the same time, it's stuff that really made a difference. So there you go.
You're feeling a different flow of energy. You're kind of letting good energy flow through you.
Right.
And just all the happy, joyful emotions that come with that. Peaceful.
Yeah. And the sun is shining, and what more can you want with that?
All right. Thank you so much for sharing, Kim. I would love that. Stacy, how about you?
Oh, I've had a tough week. I guess as far as success, I committed to working out 4 days a week, so I did meet that goal. So I felt pretty good. I didn't let that one slide and stuff like that. And just a very stressful week at work and at home, and just trying to find the good side of all of that too. At the same time, and not let it bring me down like it used to.
Okay, are you working on that? Are you seeing a little bit of a difference in how you perceive?
I am. Yep. I don't hold on to it as long as I used to.
Okay.
You know, so I guess I'm letting it go a lot faster than what I used to, and stuff like that, and still working on it little by little, but. You know, it felt good to, you know, my frustrations I'd use on the treadmill and on the weight bench and stuff like that instead of sitting on the couch and eating a bag of potato chips or something, so.
Oh, well, that's a change.
So, yeah.
That's a success.
Yeah, so that was my success for the week.
I think you need to congratulate yourself a little more than you are.
Yeah.
That's quite a big, those are the baby steps, and before you know it, you will be taking the leaps. We always want the leaps, and the leaps don't come until we take the baby steps and realize it makes some awarenesses, and so that's where you're at. So be excited about that, and you know, really, literally, pat yourself on the back and go, "I'm doing it."
Okay, I will do that.
I think that's important because it's so much easier for us to get down on ourselves than to really look at the little successes, because the little successes, one at a time, they add up. Just look at Kim, you know, just taking the little dog do and cleaning her office and, you know, an hour a week and just those little steps. And look, you know, you can just hear the freshness in her voice over a few weeks of doing this, what a difference it makes. And Kim, I'm hoping in the next few weeks we start to hear that little bit more freshness in your voice, because for you to really say, hey, look what I'm doing, you know, this is different, this is better, this is for me, and to really acknowledge that is really going to just change your perspective and also bring more joy to your heart and mind. All right, so we're on to the fitness chapter. Woohoo! So the next following weeks we're going to go over the nuts and bolts of the fitness plan and go over that. And I love the quote that is in the book, Self-Care Before Sit-Ups. It goes, until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always in the effectiveness. So what have you been really committed in the past and seen it all the way through? I'm sure you can think of something. Now look at the difference between that commitment and your commitment at past weight loss attempts. Where were you in the decision of change? Not to change only for a while, until the scale reaches a certain magic number and tells you you've made it. You can now start living your life. I mean the defining moment that you decide you're going to do this no matter what. No matter how difficult it may be in the beginning, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, decision to be committed to what it takes to make it a lifestyle, part of your own life that you will do on an ongoing basis to become part of you, integrated into a way of living. So over the past 5 weeks, we identified your core values, have begun to handle some of the things that drain your energy so that you have more vitality for the things that really matter to you, and allowing those things to come and flow towards you. You've looked at creating more inner balance and learned about filling your pitcher, so you filling yourself up so you have more to give to yourself and to others. You've realized the importance of listening to your spirit and learn ways of quieting your mind so that you can hear your own internal guidance. Now, using that guidance to find the exercise that best fits your needs, your personality, is the next step. Because we've created time, we've created space in our lives, we've created different perspectives in the way we think towards things, we've created ways to look at our thoughts and feelings and our attitudes towards exercise and our goals. So an example I like to share is a past client in Missouri started out with dance classes and the elliptical machine for her workouts. Now, she was working on her commitment to exercise regularly. She found excuse after excuse as to why to skip the dance classes. So I had her explore different types of workouts, you know, finding things that she enjoyed. She tried yoga and absolutely fell in love with it. She also started looking for a hiking club to join because she wanted to be outside for some of her workouts. And she liked socialization and something that is fun and yet challenging. And hiking met those needs, and she also loved the community of her yoga classes, which also fitted that realm. So through her exploration of integrating exercise into her life, she found community, socialization, fun, flexible, and outdoors to be the criteria needed to be consistent with her exercise, to be put it into a regular basis. She also found the conversation she had in her head about should she, shouldn't she, I'm too busy, too tired, I have cramps, I don't feel like it, I don't want to, became less and less as she progressed. She now decides and does. There's no teeter-tottering conversation on will she or won't she exercise. She found her value and her inner joy around exercise activities that brought that to her. Another client here in Minnesota enjoyed working out at her home. So when I first started working with her, she really just wanted to be home. So she began with the elliptical machine and strength training, working with the weight machines. But over time, she was doing less and less with exercise because she was getting bored and also plateauing. That therefore, she wasn't noticing as much change occurring within her body. So what she learned through her exploration was she enjoyed the firm videotapes, the yoga videotapes. She even started attending a yoga class. and fitness ball exercises. And then she thought that maybe she could go and try the aqua classes. And she absolutely fell in love with the aqua water aerobic classes. She found she didn't mind group exercises. She kind of thought that she never would really like that, especially with the yoga classes, because it was very individualized. And you go at your own pace, and it is a class of practice of where you are at the moment now. And that day, and not trying to keep up with the others. I think she found this also with her aqua aerobic classes also. She also had hip pain, and when she started doing other exercises, she found her pain had decreased, and she could go on outdoor walks, which she was prevented from doing in the past because of her hip. She was kind of felt like she could only do the elliptical. It was the only thing that really didn't hurt her hip. But as she explored and tried working her muscles in different ranges of motion and different things and taking more of her time, she noticed her hip pain decreasing, which then allowed her to do hill workouts as well, which challenged her body. And this client found switching up her workouts every 6 weeks made a difference in how her body responded to exercise and gained confidence as she explored her options. So through these two examples, allowing yourself to let go of any rigidity around what you think about exercise options, mix things up. The body will adjust and get used to the same exercise if done week after week. See what you want as your criteria, what is important to you when while you work out, and explore other activities. And like Kim shared with us, you know, if she didn't get to the gym, she walked the dog or the dog walked her. So it sounds like that was quite challenging too, and thinking that is exercise. She's moving, she's getting her heart rate up, and she's probably doing some strength training, keeping the dog in tow. So, you know, really look, again, at not the black and white thinking, the rigid thinking, but more of rainbow, gray area. And look at your options, see what's important to you that really fits your needs, that you enjoy. This brings me to my next point. I want you to focus on exercising with purpose. Think about a positive intention of fulfilling a specific outcome with every workout. An example might be doing your strength training exercises to a point of muscular fatigue. That will keep you from going through motions of bicep curls just to finish the set. Instead, take those dumbbells, place them in the palm of your hands with a light grip, focus your eyes straight ahead, get your body in correct alignment, and hold the intention of doing the set with the proper amount of weight for you to the point of being barely able to lift that last repetition while maintaining excellent form. When you do every exercise with focused intent, you will rapidly accomplish your desired results. You will gain strength, tone, and firm. When lifting, it is the reps you do after you want to quit that makes the difference of gaining strength and firming, toning, and seeing the definition in your body. So when weightlifting and doing your exercises, which I'll go over at the end of the class, when you start to feel fatigue, it's so easy to stop right there. But remember, for results, it's the reps after this point that makes all the difference. So keep in mind, you always have excellent form throughout every repetition, and once you lose your form, that's when you stop. But you kind of push, and the mind will give up before the body. The mind gives up. The body can always do more than you think it can. So when you get to maybe 10, 12 repetitions, you're like, oh, I'm feeling this. Oh, this is good. Go for the 15. If you're getting to the 15 on your, you know, second, or if you do three sets, go ahead and go for 20. The next time you go ahead and decide to, for your strength training workout, and you remember that you were able to do 20 reps, then that means you need to progress. And you would need to increase your weights by, you know, if you're at 10 pounds, go to 15 pounds. If you're 8 pounds, go to 10. Wherever you're at. But you're going to increase it by a few pounds, and then you can go ahead and work on repetitions and decrease your reps maybe to 10. Maybe the last three are real difficult for you once you increase the weight. So progression is important here. Exercising with purpose, having intention with the strength training is important for you to really make a difference in the shape of your body, okay, and firming up. Walking leisurely will not cut it for losing weight. Maintaining, yes, but not losing. So over the past weeks, I've asked you to start cardio workouts walking has been kind of the norm. It's the easiest thing to do. We all know how to do it. So, but now I'd like you to step it up. You're getting your body conditioned with your walks, with your cardio, and wanting you to start to challenge yourself more, to get to a sweat, feel what labored breathing feels like, not for a second, but maybe try it for 30 seconds, a minute, or maybe even go for a couple minutes. Focus on getting to the point where your cardio workouts holding a conversation would be a challenge. You can do it, but you're kind of catching yourself taking a breath in between words. Like, you may sound like this, and you may be able to get in a word or two during the conversation. So it's kind of like, you know, needing to get a few extra breaths in between the words or sentences that you're speaking. Am I making sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
Yep.
So far?
Nope.
Okay, so now I want to go over the RPE scale that I sent to everybody. And this is a rates of perceived exertion. If you have a heart rate monitor, I think the heart rate monitors are excellent, but not everyone has a heart rate monitor. This is just another great guidance for you to look at. So 1 to 2 is very easy. You can talk with no problem. It's a stroll. It's like, you know, calling the girlfriend saying, hey, it's a beautiful day. It's nice and warm. Let's go for a walk. Or you're strolling through the mall or whatever. Okay, it's something light. 3 is easy, can talk with no problem, but you're exercising. You may be swinging the arms a little bit. Your steps are more with more intention rather than just casual, and you're just kind of not really paying attention, just going for the walk and conversation. 4 is moderately easy. Talking is still fairly easy, feeling a bit of exertion. Maybe those steps are a little bit longer in length. Maybe you're swinging your arms up. Maybe you have a little bit of a heel coming up, whatever it may be. Moderate, 5, is talking takes some effort, feeling a little bit tough, okay? 6, moderately hard, talking takes more effort, feeling like some work, labored breathing every dozen or so words, kind of like I just explained before. 7 is difficult, talking is much tougher, feeling like work, labored breathing every other word. So that would be like, you may sound like this, okay? So that might be your run towards the end if you're doing interval training or towards this home workout that I gave you. So you might be able to relate to it, but that's a 7. 8 is very difficult, can't easily talk, and gasping for air, feeling hard work. And 9 is extremely difficult, can't talk at all. And the only way I've ever gotten to a 9 or 10 is back in college when they did a VO2 max test on me, and I had to walk on the treadmill and breathe into this tube, and that was extremely difficult. I pretty much couldn't go anymore. 7 and 8, when I'm an example that I can use, and a personal example I use, is when I'm on the treadmill and I'm going to be doing maybe a run or something like that, or I might do a hill workout where I might be at a really fast walk or a very slow jog, but it's tough. And once I notice that my eyes are focused on one particular spot and my eyes don't wander, that's when I know I'm working hard and I'm staying very focused, and I might have 5 to 10 more minutes in me to do it. Okay? Or maybe 15, it depends. I might be at a 6. But the more I'm at a 6 and the longer I stay at that pace, I might eventually get to a 7 to maybe an 8. But that's the 7 and 8s, I would say, definitely. I'm very focused. I find a focal point. I stay right there, and I'm, like, bound and determined to do it and to do it as long as I can. Okay, does that help?
Mm-hmm.
All right. On the second page of the rates of perceived exertion, you will see where you are at with heart rates, if you do heart rate, any type of heart rate training. And typically, the 50, 60, 70, 80, 90% is taking 220 minus your age and then multiplying it by 70%, 60%, 50%, and that gives you a guideline of where you are at with the heart rate. One thing I find with the 220 minus age is it works really well for more sedentary people, but the more fit, the more you've been exercising and doing that, then I find that that becomes a little bit more inaccurate, and I have to, you kind of have to fiddle and see where actually your 70% might be a little bit at a higher heart rate than it was in the beginning. So the more you condition yourself, that's when more you, you're going to notice your heart rate improving, okay? And the heart rates change differently. So, and you might have known too, as if you think back in the first weeks of your workout, and now you're doing it, that it's maybe the workouts and the walks that you've been doing are getting a little bit easier. You're like, wow, and that's just the body conditioning itself up and getting in shape. So to continue to progress so you don't plateau, you're always going to go ahead and challenge yourself a little bit more, okay? So when you're working out, you want to be about the 70% to 75. That's where I like to have my clients. So that's about the 5 to 6. And sometimes towards the workout, I like to get people to the 7-8s for, you know, a couple minutes at a time or for a few minutes out of the workout. Okay? So that's kind of a guideline there. 50s and 60s are great for maintaining and just conditioning and prevention. Great for keeping blood pressure down, great for keeping your blood sugars leveled out, great for just going ahead and if you have high cholesterol and you're just starting out an exercise program to get help, ways to get your cholesterol down, staying in those ranges. But for, you know, to really make a difference in the body, you want to be in that 70 to 75% and pumping up to 80 for a little bit. Okay? And let's see what else. So, yeah, that's...
I have a question, Amy.
Yep.
What do you do, like, if you have, like, a physical restriction, like my knees? I've had 10 surgeries on my one knee already, and running is out of the question. I can't have my bones jamming on bones any longer.
Okay.
So how do you get that heart rate up that high when you, I mean, you can't jog and you can't run?
Mm-hmm.
Walk really fast, or
do you,
I mean, any other suggestions that I can do?
Do you walk? Do you use treadmills at all?
Yeah, that's what I've been using.
Okay, have you tried heels?
A little bit.
And how do the heels feel?
A little tough at times. If you know, my knee is swollen all the time, sometimes it gets obviously worse at that time. So I, you know, maybe that's just, if I do this on a gradual type.
Yep, I would. I would do a gradual heel workout and see how that works. That should get your heart rate up without having to pump the speed up.
Okay.
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 Yeah, let me look here. Let's see. That is, I have a treadmill climb that I can give out next week, but just to I can send that out to you too. Is
okay.
You kind of progress from a zero incline to 8% on the treadmill,
okay.
And you're beginning to maintain a zero incline for 2 minutes at your moderate heart rate. Then you'll increase the grade by 1% for another 2 minutes, and so you go up 1% every 2 minutes.
Okay.
Until you reach 8%. That's about 16 minutes.
Okay.
And this will give a significant rise in your heart rate. Usually,
okay.
It will. And then
I'm sure it will.
Once you've arrived at the top, then you'll go ahead and decrease again every 2 minutes. So it's an
okay.
interval. But that should get that heart rate up without bothering the knees as much as the pounding. You could also do the elliptical if you are familiar with the elliptical machines.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They that, again, taking less pounding on the knees.
Mm-hmm.
And also any type of aqua aerobic classes that you can, like, going and running in the water.
I've done that. Yep, I've done that.
Those are really nice, or just doing some lap swimming and really
okay.
focusing, like, Lap swimming, an easy way to do that is always to do a slow lap, then a medium lap, and then a hard lap.
Okay.
And then just gradually increase that, maybe doing two slow, two medium, two hard, or one slow, two medium, two hard, or one hard. You can interval it any way you want. But one thing with swimming, we kind of get into our lull, and we just kind of forget what we're doing, and we just kind of go back and forth. But if you kind of have an agenda or a program that you have set for yourself, the swimming also can be a great workout.
Okay.
All right. Does that answer give you some options?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions?
When you get up to the 80%, is that during the interval training you would suspect more so?
Yep.
Is that what you were saying? Like,
I like the interval training a lot. Also on the home exercise program, let's see if I got that. Oops, I don't have that opened up. Let me get to my, oops, right there, open that up. But that home treadmill exercise, that's also really nice to, and that will get your heart rate up as well. And that's getting on the treadmill. Or even if you, this one thing that's nice, that you don't have to have a treadmill at home, but you can just go for a five-minute walk. And then if there's a hill near you, do you have any hills? Do you guys have hills up by your place where you live?
Yep. I do.
Okay. You could go to that area, go for a five-minute warm-up, and then go ahead and do your hill workout. And then you could go ahead and do some step-ups if there's stairs, or just a curb, you know, a sidewalk curb. You could do your step-ups there. Your slides, you could do grapevine slide shuffles, slide steps. So you're working lateral movements. One thing I like about this particular workout is that when typically we all go into more linear movements back and forth with the legs, elliptical, stair-stepper, running, jogging, almost everything's always a linear movement. So anything that gives you more of a lateral movement, you're still working the legs, but you're working it in different ranges of motion that works the muscles in different ranges of motions. So any type of racquetball, tennis,
rollerblading,
yes, cross-country skiing, all of those type of activities really are nice lateral movements that you can incorporate as one of your workouts. But when this particular workout, the slide or the shuffles or the grapevines or the side steps are nice lateral movements. Jump rope, you can always do jumping jacks. But if you guys have kids, there's got to be a jump rope in your house somewhere. So look for the jump rope. And that is challenging. So if you can only jump rope in typically maybe only 30 seconds, that's okay, and just go right into jumping jacks. And then see, you know, next time maybe you can go for 45 seconds, maybe you can jump rope for a minute, and then go into jumping jacks. And eventually you might be able to get to that point where you're jump roping for a full 3 minutes. And it doesn't have to be fast. I mean, it's not like you're a boxer and you're just going jump, 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 jump. Okay, it can be because jump roping really gets that heart rate up fast. Then you go back to the step up. So if you're outside, you're doing the curb. Or you could do stairs in your home, or you could just take the bottom step and go up and down. And then the ending, you are going ahead and really finding the steep hill in your area, or doing the hill a few times. And then if you can do a light jog, go for the light jog. Stacy, you know, you would maybe just work and stay at the hills for about a good 8 minutes.
Okay.
And then maybe pick up your pace. Can you walk fast on a flat surface?
Yeah, generally, most of the time I can.
Okay. So we do that. All right?
Okay.
Does that make sense? So I want you guys to try that this week. So that if you don't get to the gym, you have a backup plan. Okay. If it's raining, if it's snowing, whatever the season is for you, or you just got too busy, because sometimes I'm like in my office, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, where'd my day go? And so I'll go and just do some run up and down my stairs. I might do some yoga poses, some plank poses, you know, or do something for a good 15, 20 minutes at home.
Okay.
Or I'll go out for a walk. Okay.
running up and down the stairs with laundry baskets.
Yes. You know, I have people wear the Caltrax, which are calories, they monitor how many calories you burn in physical activity, and it is amazing, but the amount of calories you burn when shopping and cleaning your house. Everyone's eyes just lighten up when they look and see how many calories they burn shopping and cleaning their house. Because you can't really pay attention to how much movement you're doing, but you are. You're doing a lot of movement. Hmm. So the women love that when they can see how many calories they burn shopping. And sometimes I'll tell women, go clean your house. If you don't have time to get to the work, you know, get the workout in, you got time to, you know, maybe that's the night you typically don't vacuum and do laundry or whatever. Maybe you do it then. And that, or wash your walls. You know, let's just take a wall and wash it for a while. And little things. And actually that brings up the calories and they get two things done at once almost. So there's different ways to look at exercise. So not always on the treadmill. And that's kind of, again, looking at that take away from the rigid thinking. But in the essence of weight loss, fat loss, got to incorporate the strength training. You do need to get the heart rate up. But, again, going away from all or nothing thinking, if you can't get it in, you don't do anything, which you guys are, it looks like you're really walking away from that type of thinking. Activity, get it in, whatever it may be. Now, the strength training workouts, the one, the horse stance abdominal exercise, you guys can go ahead and do that. Here, you're focused really on lift that navel up towards the spine, curl it, and one thing that I like to add into that is when you bring that navel to the spine, imagine it's like you got a little scoop, and you're going to scoop that navel up a little bit and bring it up towards your sternum. So it's all the way in, and then a little tiny scoop where you lift it in, lift it towards the sternum. You're going to do that, and then these are great stabilization exercises. And you're going to go ahead and just lift, raise the left hand and the right knee approximately just a tiny bit, centimeter off the ground. That's all you need. All right? And then you're going to go ahead and hold that position. But you need to bring the navel in. And one thing that I also do here is I will do a Kegel. So I'm lifting the whole pelvic floor up here towards my sternum. So if you do a Kegel and you do the navel exercise, then go ahead, and it's a lot of thinking when you're doing this. You're like, am I getting it? And see if you can hold it for 10 seconds and repeat, and then do the other side. Okay? Push-ups. I've had you guys been doing planks and push-ups now for a few weeks. So I gave a couple different options here. Again, if you're at the gym, you can always go ahead and change things up. If you've been doing planks and push-ups now for a few weeks and you want to change it up, you can always go to the machine and do a chest press or a fly. But here's just some examples to do on the ball, which also works core work, your abdominal area, low back area, that whole waist and hips area is nice to do it on the ball because you're using all your muscles to stabilize so you don't fall off the ball. Okay, and again, what we talked about, being focused and challenging the body. The lunge here, I want you to add that if you haven't, because I know 2 weeks ago I think I said add a large body movement strength training exercise. So if you're have been doing lunges, you can always go into squat, or you can go ahead and change it up and do a lunge with the ball. Again, one thing that I love about the fitness ball is there's some instability in that the ball, it's not, you know, it can roll. So again, you're activating your all the muscles in the body to stay balanced on that ball and yet do the lunge. So that's one, I really like that particular exercise as well. So also, what is nice here for, you know, Stacy, if this, you can try it with your knees and see how you feel on that. Mm-hmm. Another option would be to do some hamstring curls on the ball. Those are really nice, or on the machine, to really build up the hamstrings for you and the quads.
Okay.
Do I need to go over hamstring curls and quad sets with you?
No, no, I've done lots of those through therapy.
Okay. I'm like, those should be pretty familiar to you.
Yep, those are.
Okay, so keep up on that, and that'll keep the ligaments and the muscles and tendons all strong around those knees to support you with all these other exercises. Lat pull down. Okay, I love the lat pull down. It's working the upper body back muscles. They're large muscle groups, and it's right around that fold over the bra line, you know, that we get when we may want to lose when we overweight. Like, those are the muscles that help, that once they're toned, you don't have that flab over the bra. So right here, you want to slightly lean back, lift the chest here. A lot of people don't lift. And to do that, you squeeze the shoulder blades together. So bring your arms in front of you and then squeeze the shoulder blades together. Now, if you hunch your shoulders up towards your ears, that's not squeezing the shoulder blades. That's a shoulder lift. So press those shoulders down away from the ear, creating space between ear and shoulder, and then just pull straight back. And you can imagine like a walnut in between your shoulder blades, and you just want to hold that walnut there, because once you release that contraction, the walnut will fall. So come and imagine squeezing. Are you guys trying it with the one arm, if you're holding a phone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you feel the back muscles working?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. That's the contraction. So when the arm is up, the arms are up holding that bar, and the bar, you're holding a wide grip, you know, not close, but the lat pull down bars are wide, so you want to go out wide. You're going to squeeze, lift the chest, squeeze the shoulder blades together, and then you're going to pull the bar down towards the chest, keeping your elbows out wide. Once they kind of concave in, you're going to work a little bit more inner back. We want to stay outer back, so keep the elbows out wide, and also that'll help keep the chest up. Okay?
Okay.
Another way to do that, I have different options at home. If you got tubing, you can do it at home with the tubing, and also there's a couple options there, different ones. Okay, so there is a few more exercises to include in your strength training workouts. And you can always do more. You can include the biceps, triceps now, and, you know, do what you want. But I wanted you guys to start adding more now.
Okay.
Any questions?
Okay.
Any questions? All right. So let's go ahead and get to the activity diary. And I want you to go on first the week one.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to list down now. You're going to fill this out of what days you're going to work out and what you're going to do and how long. So if you're going to work out on Monday, you would put Monday home workout 40 minutes or however long that workout is. Yeah, I'll look it back up. All right, so I want you to go ahead, and let's see. Stacy, you said you're up to 4 days a week?
Yep.
Okay, so fill in your 4 days.
Okay.
Yeah, the home workout is 45 minutes. Kim, how many days are you up to?
I'm up to 3.5.
3.5? Okay. So
3.5 over the last 3 weeks is what I've averaged, but I'm going to do it 4 next week.
Okay, so put your 4 in. And tell me when you're done.
Okay.
All right. Now, the days that you do not have anything written, I want you to write the word rest. Because I think it's important for you guys to just know that you don't have to get something in, that you can just enjoy and have those days as rest. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to wander. It's just your day to rest. And then I want and this is a college recording, so everyone that's listening to the recording besides Kim and Stacey that are on live call, I want to make sure that you're eating a breakfast every morning. And if you already do, I want you to pay attention to how much fiber and protein are in each serving. And how many servings, if it's cold cereal or something like that, how many servings are you actually having? because it's easy to fill that bowl up more than what the serving size is. So to actually look and see how much protein, fiber you are, and you can look and see how many calories too, because next week we'll go into the intuitive eating. So Kim and Stacey, do you guys typically eat breakfast, or is that something you easily skip?
I always eat. Yeah, me too.
Okay.
I'm trying to set the example for my kids.
Good. Good. It's an important meal, and we'll give you all the reasons next week why that's important. But I want to make sure that you're starting to do that now. All right. So that goes ahead and completes the homework for this week.
Okay.
Other than keeping up with your meditations, how are we doing with meditation? Where are we at with that, girls?
I'm really struggling with finding that spot
yep.
where I can just go, even for a couple minutes. I mean, I think about it when I'm in the shower, and I'm like, okay, I'm doing something else. This doesn't count.
Okay.
But I'm working on this, you know, when it's stoplight, I take a few deep breaths and blow out. And
okay, that's good.
But I don't have a set time where I just go to myself, because my bodyguard yells at me all the time.
One I have found personally in my personal experience, because in the day I'm busy too, and you know, I love how you said about the deep breathing at the red lights and the shower, all of that, because I talk to myself in the shower. I'm like, okay, what are my successes, what are my strengths, you know, how am I going to, you know, what am I going to do to help people today, what am I grateful for? I do all that self-talking while I'm in the shower. I've kind of changed my, I'm like, okay, this is good free time, let's go through this. And one thing, too, personally I have done, I've been able to do, and it's not for everybody, but I've changed my work hours. Sometimes it's not until 8:30 that I'm in the office, and that gives me and I work out of my home. So by the time the kids are out of the house to school, my husband's off and everything, instead of being right in my office at 8 o'clock, I have been able to adjust that a little bit for myself, and I take that half hour for prayer time, meditation, and just reviewing my goals. So if you look at your work hours, and if there's any way that you have some personal flexibility and you can personally adjust, I don't know if everyone's an entrepreneur or if they're working for someone, I don't know, but look at your rigid thinking around that and see if there is rigid thinking around that or if there is flexibility. Another point to do for meditation is another easy time for me to get that in is right when I go to bed. If I'm tired at 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever it is, I will go, and the kids are always, you know, my kids are in bed earlier than that, so I do have some time that I personally can either clean the house, read a book, watch television, have my downtime. I will go in and do my meditation there, even if it's 15 minutes before I go to bed. But I don't get in the covers. I stay, keep the bed as is. I will get into my pajamas and get ready, but then I'll just sit and really relax because that's my downtime. So look at your day and look at the way you're thinking of your day and also see if everyone goes to bed at a certain time, sometime during the day, night, evening, and see if you can go into your room maybe 15 minutes earlier than you normally do and do your meditations, look at your goals. Have your goals at your nightstand so you look at it right away in the morning just to kind of put your into perspective. How does that sound? Does that sound like that might be a helpful?
I think it'll help.
Okay. And also break it down. So if you think 15 minutes is too much, break it down to 5 and then gradually go up, baby steps. But the more you can really focus on in that meditation and in that silence, that's when you're going to really start feeling some calmness and letting go of those thoughts, of the stress of your day, and just saying, how can I let that go? You know, just, all right, blow off my shoulder. This is my time right here. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate that. Goodbye. And let the thought leave. And just start to de-stress.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope.
There's some great questions, you guys. I love that. Love the interaction. And I love how you guys are progressing along. You're doing beautifully. So let's continue to do that self-discovery, working within and finding those answers that work best for you, and then taking action upon that. All right, you guys, make it a great day.
All right, thanks, Amy.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.